Welcome back, Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Brut. It's a pleasure to have you here as we approach Pesach to discuss the earliest source of stealing the Afikoman and what the history books tell us all about this exciting minig that gets the kids all excited during the Seder. And we thank our sponsor, Ellie and Eva Gennaro of Boca Raton, Florida, who are dedicating this episode in memory of Haisha Rivka Bas Harav Avram Akayin, Mrs. Ruth Gennaro of Seattle, Washington, whose first yahrzeit is Ches Nisan. May her neshama have an aliyah, and all the learning should be a schos for her neshama. We thank the Gennaros for the dedication. So Rabbi Brut, what could you share with us as we begin this episode? I just want to say before we begin, please, if you'd like to get Rabbi Brut's email of Svarim and Kuntresim and all kinds of interesting things and paraphernalia he sends out before Yontif, I don't think it's too late yet for this Yontif, please email him, eliezerbrut@gmail.com, eliezerbrut@gmail.com. You can email me, shwadem@ou.org, with any questions, comments, suggestions, if you would like to make a dedication towards any of our future episodes. Without further ado, Rabbi Brut, what is the earliest source for stealing the Afikoman, and how has it become a very, very exciting part of the Seder? And Baruch Hashem, many Sfarim stores and toy stores make good parnassa from this minig.
Okay, so that is a great question, and we hope to get to answer very quickly. Okay, but first, before anything, you want to know this minig of stealing the afikayman, where children plan this well in advance, when's the best time to steal it, when's the father not looking, what to ask for. Okay, that's what we hope to discuss, and a little bit more, insight into the Seder, actually. Okay, so Lamashal, one of the ways when you want to find out if a minig was done and stuff like that is you look in, it's called autobiographical or memoir literature. So we have various sources that show that they were doing this thing of stealing the afikayman. Lamashal, Rebbetzin Ruchama Shein describes how she stole the afikayman when she was young, and her father, the famous Rabbi Akiva Yosef Herman, known as the Chafetz Chaim of America, promised her a gift if she gave it back. There was a Yid, Alexander Ziskin Horowitz, who wrote a Yiddish memoir about his life. He lived a long life, and wrote a long memoir about it. It was originally, as I said, in Yiddish. It gets recently translated into English. Describes life in the 1860s and onwards, and he talks about stealing the afikayman, and he says like this: he stole it. Then his father said he asked for a present, a sack of walnuts that his father gave him. He gave back the afikayman to his father, but he said their minig was that the Seder cannot continue unless the afikayman is found and eaten. So I had the upper hand, but my father said with me that if I were to steal the next night, the second Seder, I would have to eat the entire afikayman all by myself. So the second night, he did not really, he was scared to steal the afikayman. Anyway, because it was done, many, many sources for this, Lamashal in the 1880s, a Litvish autobiography from Benjamin Gordon, a doctor. He describes how him and his mother helped him steal it. The Hungarian Gadol, Rabbi Eliezer Shlomo Schick, describes in Hungary, his mother encouraged him to steal it and to ask for his father something. Kitzer, numerous sources for such a thing in this type of literature. We're not going to list out all of them. Okay, now, so it was done. But is everyone pro this minig, so to speak? So, interestingly enough, I'm sure I'm going to mention briefly in a few minutes some people that were against it, some gedolim, but here's a tshuva. The tshuva written, it was written to, I believe, Reb Yisrael David Yaffa Schlesinger, or Margolis, different names. He was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, born in 1802, dies in the 1860s, and we quoted him in some other episodes, even in the Banging of Haman. He has some interesting tshuvas, and one of them was, someone seems to ask him the question, what's this minig, what's up with the various things we do at the Seder, such as Chagadya and Echa Miyadeya, what's behind these songs? And the longer question that this person had asked is, what's going on with stealing afikayman? And the person writes, halig neva asur lanu bein mi Yisrael oy mei nachri v'gneva is goy he belois asei come over berambam but even bein umiyat aloy loy timsa shum gneva muteres lanu bein mi Yisrael oy mei nachri v'chein hagoynev lemeika toy amanas lahachzer gnevi so ma dua nagu belel shimurim lul meides atinoikis lignoiv as afikayman al tzniyoy. So first of all, you see that in the early 1800s they're doing this, but what's going on? Why are you teaching them how to steal? And we know that's not a proper thing. So we see already then that there were people that were concerned that there's a problem of this minig, which is teaching the kids to steal. Lamaisa, we find in later, much later than him, but let's say the Chazon Ish, the Stipler, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Lubavitcher Rebbe, someone sent me, Rav Steinman says this, and others, that they were against steal. They were against this minig specifically because you're teaching the kids to steal. Rav Kapach says such a thing, and Taman, they didn't do it. Rav Shem Tev Gagin writes, Svardim did not have this custom, it's not a Svardim minig. Okay. So we see there's some type of opposition. Okay. Now, the Lemaisa, Rav Schlesinger, or Margolis, however you want to call him, in his tshuva, he has a whole arichos trying to explain. In general, he defends a lot of Minhagim in his various writings. And here also, he has a whole Torah to explain what's going on behind Afikayman. But he is using Drush and even Kabbalah in his thing. I'm going to try to be much more Pashut and some sources, which probably he did not have all of them, and that's why he didn't say what I'm going to discuss. Okay. But before we get to him, was there any other opposition? So there's a sefer I've quoted in the past a few times from Aaron of Metz, the Mayriar. He brings down, again, also against this thing of children teaching them to steal. It's minig badui vehevel. It's a goyish minig. And not only that, he says that goyim here, sheyehudim loimdim ladeem, to steal lignoi zeichel etzis mitzrayim, and therefore you should refrain from doing it. Okay? Now, what does he mean? So it's possible that what's going on over here is that lamashal. One source for minhagim that's used by different people is what mushumadim record after they went off. Then they talk about their life as a Jew before they went off. So some people, from people also, they use these type of sources to, again, not paskening anything, but it helps sometimes to understand things. So Lamashal, in 1738, one of these such works, writes a detailed description. He describes the stealing of Afikayman by the youngest child, and he gets a reward from his father. And what's the reason? The reason is to teach the child to remember that what the Yidden did in Mitzrayim, that they borrowed from the Mitzrayim, and they ran away with the items. Now, we know they weren't doing anything wrong, Chas v'Shalom. They were fulfilling what the Torah said. But that could possibly be what the concern of this Mayriar is and some other people. Similarly, is the Chavis Yair also. He brings down Taka that the minig was the children did do it, but he says, "Mikol makam yesh parim limchais ulevat laminig," and it could be similar to this Mayriar. That's the reason, anyway. So we're giving more to the story behind the psakim of Rav Shlomo Zalman. These are the gedolim that they were. It's not only the stealing. There's something really behind not to do this minig. Okay, but lemaisa, the question is. Many Jews do it. Where could we trace this back? Okay. So in most Rishonim and early Paiskim, describing the part of the Seder called Yachatz, we find what happens. We break the matzah. Then we find that some go as far as to say that the person who leads the Seder puts it on his shoulders and he walks with a bit with it, saying, this is how we went out in Mitzrayim. Others did this only later on when they're about to do the Afikayman. But Bekitzer, this is what was done, Yachatz, and then we break it, the bigger half and the smaller half, and we put away, whatever. Okay. Now, some mention putting it under a pillow to watch it, but there's no mention in almost all the Rishonim, and we have detailed lists of Rishonim talking about it at this point already early on to say the Yachatz. They don't talk about children stealing it, L'chaira. Okay, fast forward. But we're looking for, is there any early sources? So when I was looking into this topic many years ago, someone sent me possibly the earliest sources like this. There's many illustrated Haggadahs. What does that mean? That even before the printing press, there were Haggadahs, and they have all types of pictures, which is a whole fascinating story worthy of many different shiur. But one of them, it's known as the Second Nuremberg Haggadah, which is written between the years 1450 and 1500. It has illustrations, and in there we see the boy puts out his hand to get the Afikayman from his father, and later on it says, right by Tzafen, the leader asks for the Afikayman that the boy had hidden. So we see already somewhere between 1450 and 1500, some mention. Okay, but Lamaisa, besides for this work, later on we don't find it, as I said. Let's marshal, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, we don't find this meaning. Another thing is, there's a famous illustrated Haggadah, one of the earliest printed Haggadahs with pictures. It's known as the Prague Haggadah of 1526, 1527. And there's many pictures in there. There's no picture of this. Okay. Another interesting Marmakim, just to throw out there, is that There's a sefer Chagah Pesach, which was published in about 1597, so it's a little after the mamish, a little after the Shulchan Aruch. He talks about the Marshal. In the times of the Marshal was asked by someone where basically the mice ate the afikomen, and there was nothing left. He put it in the pillow under the table, and the mice came and ate it. So there was nothing left for them. So you see that in let's say 1597, the Shiloh was asked the Marshal wherever he was. They didn't hide it. It was just put in a pillow and left under the table, under the pillow of the Baal Bayit. So, but what we don't see anything about it being stolen. Okay. So, what's the earliest source we do find such a thing? So, if you open up your Shulchan Aruch, in Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Pesach, we have a Gvaldika Beindika Pirish from Rabbi Yaakov Reisher on Hilchas Pesach called Chok Yaakov. It's on the Tzuris Adaf of most Shulchan Aruchs, and there he brings down. This is first published in 1696 in Dessau. The children had the meaning to steal afikomen. Okay, so here we have the first makar in a halachic chibur that they did such a thing. A little later, in 1717, there's a chibur noyik etzon Yosef, Rav Yosef Yuspa of Frankfurt. He also brings down this minig. And in more recent years, we have Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He brings down this minig also. And the Chavos Yar, which we quoted earlier, which was first published from manuscript in 1988, he also brings down that the children had this minig. Okay, ad kan, that there was such a minig, and now we have at least some chash of a paiskin bringing it down. Now, the question is, but what's the source of this minig? What does the Chok Yaakov say? What's behind the minig? Or these other achrayim? Do they give an insight behind this? So the answer is yes, and this is... well known is like this. There's a Gemara in Psachim Kuf Chaf Ches Amar Beis Kuf Tes Amar Aleph that talks about Kol Chayav Barba Kaisis Halalu Echad Nashim Echad Anashim Echad Tinoikis. So one second, what do you mean? V'chi Matayel is Yesh Tinoikis B'Yayin Elo. You don't give them one. Mechalkin Len Kloyes V'Agoyizim Be'Erev Pesach Kedei Shelo Yishnu. You give them nuts to keep them awake, and then it says, we grab the matzis and the leil Pesach so that the children shouldn't sleep. Okay, it's a cryptic line. The Gemara, obviously, you have to look into various Rishonim, but we have a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel, says like this. Tzorech lasei shine b'layla zeh, kedei sh'yir ha'banim, v'yishalu, v'yemir manish, tana layla zeh, mikol leilis. Then he says, v'keitz m'shanu, v'chalek lem, kleis v'egoizim. You give them nuts, Vaikim Ashulchan, Mufnaim, Kaimshi Yahlu, the Khaita Mata Ze Miyad Ze, Uchyoitza Badvar Mailu, and similar these other things. And Ben, then the Ram goes continues. So basically the Rambam is saying we do different changes. Why? To have the children to be inspired to ask questions. So this is Vashtet and Rambam. The Rabbeinu Menoyach brings a Tosefta, which might have such a gears of a chaytif, but what's going on over here is Shtet and Chok Yaakov is, if you look, Efshir Mizeh, from this Rambam, this Gemara, Mizeh Nispashet HaMinik, Shemenichin Latinoikis, B'medinas Eilu, Lachtoif Afikoymen, Shalideizeh, Lo Yishnu Miyisayir Lusho. It just got extended. Instead of the adults doing it, which is what it sounds like from the Gemara / Rambam, it's you had the kids do it, and this gets them to be all excited and to be awake during the Leil Hasid. I mentioned that a bunch of people say it, just to quote Tula Shainis, one of my favorite Haggadahs, the Marble Sapper from Revididya Tio Vail, the son of the Karban Asanel, 1791, in his beautiful Haggadah says, we say, V'chol ha-Marble Sapper b'tzias Mitzrayim harezim ha-Shubach. What's going on? What's this Lashon Marba? So he says, L'fish ma'shamur chazal, Moshiv ha-Tinagis k'dei she-yishlu, V'chein ha-Tibulim, and we do all different types of things, such as Klias ve-Goyzim, so to keep them awake, V'anir l'ani is da'iti de-mizerem is ma'shanoigin l'gnoiva afikoyim. This is why they steal it, V'ayin chok Yaakov, k'disa b'psachim, and then he says, V'achri kamer kol ha-Marba b'shini dvarim lasas, k'dei shal yidei kach, yavoy l'sapir yutzis mishraim ha-reizim mishubach. That's Lashon ha-Marba. We do all these types of things to keep them awake. Earlier, Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Siddur. Now, this is not found in the Siddur, standard Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur. This you have to use the Eshkol Siddur, where they have a Sophos that were only published in much more recent years. He says, Masha Noigin, it's Leinu Ashkenazim, She'elodim Goyim V'afikoyimin, Yesh Smachlaze, B'Gemara, Chaitim Matzis, B'Lel Psachim. So again, he's shtelling to this Gemara, and there's a long list of people who shtel to this Gemara for this mini. Okay. Lamaisa, many times you could find that it could even be earlier. You say, of course, here we're shtelling too that this is Pshat Gemara and this is the Rambam, but there's other people. Okay, and what am I referring to? So there's a fascinating. Sometimes you can have a gadol that Bechayev, he was an Adam gadol, very well known, mamish well known, and today no one knows of him. Come out, no one knows of him. Sometimes people heard of a work that he might have written, but he gets lost. One such person is a Yid, Rav Yitzchak Chius. I'm going to quote to you a Lashon in the Tzemach David. The Tzemach David, when he refers to about this Rav Yitzchak Chius, which we're about to read something from him, he says like this. Rav Yitzchak Chius, Harav HaGadol, Asher Shmo Yatzeh Bechol Tfutzis Yisrael, beyond famous, Hu Himit Talmidim Harbe, Verbit Tayr B'Yisrael, and not only that, Chiber Sefer Pachal Yitzchak, V'Sich Yitzchak, V'Sefer Pnei Yitzchak, V'Yuru HaGadol, okay, he came in Prague, B'Shnas Tuf, Shin Dalad Mem, Vayparash Shiva, and he was here, and then he dies. Okay, fine. So he dies in Shin Mem Dalad, it sounds like. Fine. And sorry, that's when he comes to Prague. Now, who is this Rav Yitzchak Chius? So people who learn Yeridea, you come across the Chibur, Api Rav Ravi, this is a Chibur, the Shach handles a lot, the Magen Avram in Archaim brings down the Api Rav Ravi in Yeridea. Anyway, less known is that this same Yid wrote, and as I just read from the Tzemach David, this is an account from that period of time. He was one of the Gedolei Rosh Hashivas, one of the Gedolei Olam. He's the head Rav of Prague, a great Rosh Hashiva. So one of the things is we have Sich Yitzchak, is a Chibur of his on the Leil HaSeder. It's incredible, incredible work. And over there, we find that he wrote it's a piyutim, pizmainim, lashainis, and then he's mefarish, the song that he wrote with all the halachas that he's being meramis, the halachas of the Leil HaSeder, and then he handles all the different things in them. And this was a common thing that was done by many people in that kufo. So, and then he talks about our discussion about chaytvin minatinaikis. He's talking about our gemara and psachim that we just mentioned. Then he says like this: v'chema rash darash the kol shinuim sheichayim lasis kedei sheishla tinaikis yase u'meshubachu. All the things he could do that will get the kids into it, that they can ask questions. Meshubach kegoin lachtiv mashe biyadei kam kesheyilchu v'yignevu ha'afikaymin v'chayizrin v'chaytvin mehen hakadosh baruch hu mesavel lezeh. Now, what's going on over here is he's saying pretty much there's some type of stealing of the Afikoman that's taking place at this point in the Seder. And this is, where is he quoting this from? Even earlier, he's quoting it from the Marash, the Rebbe of the Maril, that says over here, about the great Shinuim, Kegon Lachtoif Mehen Mashiach Lefneim, Kyoitzim Nesha Kotim Mesavalazet. The kids get into it. It's all geschmack. It's happening. The Maril, the Talmud, the Marash also says the same thing, and that's what they did at the Seder. So what they did was all these Shinuim, including this, so it's really, this is what's going on in this Gemara, this, not only the giving out of nuts, but it's also the grabbing, which the Gemara says, this is what's behind going on in the Gemara. It's all about, and this is, everyone knows, a lot of times you ask various questions in the Leil HaSeder. I'm going to list just a few of them shortly. What's the story? Why do we do this? It's very strange. It's not La Halacha, whatever. And the answer you find in the Rishayim, the Achrayim is, Kedei Sheyish Lo Tinaikis. So much so that a lot of times, if my children ask me a question in the middle of the year, I say it's Kedei Sheyish Lo Tinaikis. It's a great answer for parents to avoid. I say it's not to Leil HaSeder. In the Leil HaSeder, I am a chuyv to answer you, but not during the year. Anyway, that's my perverse thing. Okay, now, Bekitzer, we have like this. Based on this Rambam, we can understand what's happening and what's going on in this minig, and why. And similarly, all these achrayim are pointing to already from early on, shtelling to often a gemara, and that is like this. The night of Pesach is all about the children. The Seder night is when we do many strange things with one goal in mind, to get the children to notice and to ask, to get them into it. The purpose of this is to fulfill the main mitzvah of the night. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim lies behind many mitzvahs. The reason for this, says the Chinuch, is Yitzias Mitzrayim was testimony that there's a Hashem Yisbarach who runs the world and that he can change what he wants when necessary as he did in Mitzrayim. Elsewhere, the Chinuch writes that the reason why Yitzias Mitzrayim is related to so many mitzvahs is that doing a variety of activities with this concept in mind, it becomes part of us, the chashivas of this historic event of what happened in Mitzrayim. So maybe the Leil HaSeder, what we're trying to do with so many different things, and momentarily I'm going to give a short list, all these strange different things, is to get the kids into it, to ask questions, and then questions inspire, the adults are supposed to give answers and discuss what happened. This is what's going on in this Gemara Pesachim, and this is the Pshat in the Rambam. Lomashal, you start with karpas. Right away in the beginning, it's what's going on from washing before eating vegetables. Then we don't make a bracha. Then we dip the vegetables into salt water, and we eat less than a kezayis. Then afterwards, you break the matzah yachatz. Then you lift the kaira before alachama anya. Then you switch the language at the end from Aramaic back to Hebrew. What's going on here? Then some people remove the kaira before saying the gagado. Then you give children wine. You don't necessarily do it. And then you remove the table. All these different things. Vas tutzachta. The answer is, there's many reasons given for all these different minhagim, and there's many. Each one could be their own shear. I'm not going down that rabbit hole, don't worry. But the point is that some people say it's to get the children curious, and it leads to discussions of Mitzrayim and all the miracles that took place here. And this is what is going on behind the stealing of the Afikoman. So it's a very simple thing. So my approach that I'm trying to mention over here is, it's Avada, the Sefer Mil Davis from Ramagolis, Schlesinger, he has a gewaldic discussion to be miyashiv, this guy was complaining to him, it's stealing and stealing, and the answer is, you could answer based on all these sources, a much more pasha than a kuda, what's going on over here. L'mashal is another strange custom. Chida writes at the Seder that he attended during his famous travels, a servant circled the kaira around the head of each male at the Seder 3 times. Like we do kaparis, and people trace this minig. It's an early minig. What's going on? Again, it's all to get the kids into it. Now, we're not going to go into a long list of listing out the gedolim, what the gedolim did at their seder, but it's interesting to note, someone just recently asked me, what was the seder like by various gedolim? So I said, if you look in various sources, you see many gedolim, they geared their seder to the children. I believe I saw the Chassam Sofer, he was very makbet to gear to the children and others. So this person told me, a friend of mine, Rabbeinu Ginsberg, so he tells me Rabbi Victor Neventzal, from what he heard from reliable sources, it basically is, he at the Seder, he stops around the Avadim Yinu time, and he tells the story of Mitzrayim for about an hour, including singing Parei B'Pajama B'Emtza Laila, which he was told to Rav Alter's family during the Shiva, and they got a lot of another, and then they read the Haggadah. And the point is, you will find this, not necessarily the Parei B'Pajama story, but this Nakuda of gearing it to the children and speaking to the children. Many different Gedolim did this. It's a long list of Gedolim that did this. Now, Avada, if you have all full-fledged adults that you can have deep conversations, Seder. But that's really what the Seder is about, according to strictly from a lot of the different sources. Okay. Lamaisa, even though you're stealing, are there other Gedolim that held that you could steal? So interestingly enough, from the family, the Chafetz Chaim, they say the Chafetz Chaim was not makbid and he let them steal. Even though I brought down Rosh Hashanah Zalman was against it, someone, Reb Dava Baran, who had a very interesting relationship with Rosh Hashanah Zalman, he was a very big machmir, he did allow his children. Reb Avigdor Neventzal says he didn't understand. He did not understand Rosh Hashanah Zalman and this prat. And he says, Adarabba, it encourages us. It's not about keeping the children to encouraging them to steal. It keeps them awake, like I mentioned. Okay. Lamashal, we're looking for Taman behind us. So, the Chavis Yor, even though he's rather against it, we quoted, but he says it's the Chav of HaMitzvah. And we're going to explain that in what is the Chav of HaMitzvah? There's a Nekuda, cherish mitzvahs. What does this even mean? So there's an interesting tshuva. Tshuva's Torah Lishma, which we now know is really written by the Ben Ish Chai. And basically what happens is, it seems there was a Talmud Chacham, he visited his family at the Seder. And they put out a stack of matzahs at the beginning of when they say the Haggadah, so everyone could have matzah when they're saying that God, and everyone grabbed it, and he didn't understand what's going on. He got very upset, and he was told, no, it's to show the love for the mitzvah. See, he came from a different type of world. Maybe he was more yekish or more proper that they didn't do such things. And the point was, based on the Gemara Chulin, we find that there's something of showing the chavivus for mitzvahs. Okay, so this is could be pshat in the Chavis Yar, and others in the other source that I said that a few times already, the Noi Kitzon Yosef, where he's very pro it. He says simple, like I mentioned, they're awake, and then they ask questions. So this is it's a trick on the kids. It gets them to be into the Seder. Okay, so, but the point is that the simple, it's not such a, you know, complex thing. This is what's going on over here. And just two more Nakudas over here. My friend, who was Nifter, sadly, recently, earlier this year, Rav Shalom Jacobs, once I was talking to him about Afikayman, so he tells me, oh, there's a Yid, Rav Moshe Wexler, in his back of a Sefer, Berachas Moshe, published in 1902. He has a reason. And it's a simple reason. Is because basically what one of the things is in Afikayman, especially in certain circles, they're very concerned they have to eat it by a certain time. So you're scared you're going to forget about it. You're going to get a orangutan in the Seder, too involved in the Seder. So this is what better way you have a shomer is the kid is going to constantly remind you because he wants to make sure he gets his reward. This is a cute reason found in the Schieber from Moshe Wexler, who was interesting Yid in America in the early 1900s, not for now. Okay. One last reason that I came across looking is from Reb Shimon Schwab. Reb Shimon Schwab, Yekesh Yid, so he writes like this: I personally do not care for the term "stealing the matzah." It's an un-Jewish. It's un-Jewish to steal, even afikayman. Not only that, is there stealing? Now he says, what I call it, hiding the matzah, to be used later as afikayman, which is called hidden. So basically, it's the term. You just got to switch the term. They're hiding the matzah. Now he says, Then he says a cute mahalach in this story. He says like this: we know there's deeper meanings behind many minhagim. So Jewish parents used to play with their children in their games. They would have some type of Torah lesson. Okay, so what's going on over here? The meaning of yachatz: when we break this matzah into a large and small piece, with each piece being used for a special purpose, is also something symbolic. The smaller piece, the lechem ayini, poor man's bread, is left at the seder plate along with the maran charoses. However, the larger piece is hidden away for nafikayim by the children, who will ask for a reward for its return and then eaten at the end of the meal. It says his father told him that the smaller piece of matzah, the lechem ayini, represents olam hazeh with all its trials and tribulations. This piece is left on the Seder plate along with the matzah, with the maran charoses, reflecting life in this world with all the sweet and bitter experiences. However, the large main piece, which is hidden away during the Seder to be eaten after the meal, represents olam haba, which is hidden from us during our lives in this world. The eating of this piece after the meal, when one is full, and it's symbolic to our reward in olam haba, which can be attained only if we're full of the mitzvahs and life of Torah and mitzvahs v'chulu. And this is when the children ask for the reward, giving it up. It's symbolic for our reward in olam haba, which is granted by a Kadosh Baruch Hu if we earned it. This is a beautiful reason that Reb Shimon Schwab said over from his father about it. Okay. Anyway, in short, as I demonstrated right now, there are Makairis, possibly even in a Gemara, about this minig of Afikayman. Okay. Now, I just would like to discuss for a few more minutes another minig that relates to Afikayman, which also found very interesting, which is some people have this minig that after Pesach, they make sure to save a piece of the Afikayman. I've even seen in auctions, they sell a certain gedolim, the Afikayman piece of a certain gadol. What's going on? So Mashal is a memoir, back to memoirs. I've quoted this memoir in the past. Pauline Weingruff writes, in some Jewish homes, a single round matzah was hung on the wall by a little thread and left there as a memento. Okay. And others, other different autobiographical accounts mention such a thing. The Munkacher Rebbe used to give out a piece of the Afikayman, and people would save this piece from this Afikayman of his all year round. Okay. The Maisa, everything goes back to a Magen Avram. There's a Magen Avram in Hilchus Yontif that says, "Im kein mutter lunkoif chatichos afikaymen bePesach l'tloisoi deloi ki yesh machmiren." A very cryptic sentence, not in Hilchus Pesach, but in Hilchus Yontif. He says such a thing that you can make hang the afikaymen and make a hole in it with a knife on Yontif to hang it. What's going on here? What's he referring to? Similar to Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, we quoted him earlier today, the Chok Yankiv, he also brings down that there's a custom to break off a piece of Afikayman and hang it. And he points to this Magen Avram. Now, but why? What's going on behind this? So the answer is that hanging the Afikayman, you're avoiding the issue that might be that otherwise there's a problem of bezayin. It's a bezayin for the Eichlin. Okay. Lamaisa, why are we holding this? Says Rav Reischer, it's not an issue because it's to remind us again of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He says his father and his Rabbeim, they also did keep this minig of keeping behind a small piece of Afikayman. So this gets back to what we were telling with the Rambam and the Chinuch, that there's so much going on to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we're keeping something from what happens at the Leil HaSeder. I'm going to see another interesting point about that very shortly. Okay. Now Lamaisa, the Chavis Yair, he brings down that the reason for the minik to hang it is, again, Zeichel Sis Mitzrayim, but the question is, what's going on? Is there really an issue of Bizei Eichlin, which the Chok Yankov is raising? So there's a Rabbi Victor Nevensal, where he talks about, in general, the concept of Bizei Eichlin. He says that bread, which is what's pshat in the general Isser of Bizei Eichlin, it's because the bread is a special gift that Hashem gives us from Olam Haba, so you can't use it in any embarrassing way. However, when one's using it for the mitzvah of Zeichel Sis Mitzrayim, so maybe that could be why it's not Bizei Eichlin, it could be that's really what Rav Reischer means. Okay. Anyway, the point is that people started carrying it. But not only al Zeichel Sis Mitzrayim, it became a major skula. L'mashal, the Chavis Yair again brings down that people used to carry it when they would travel. What's the source for it? So there are early sources. We're not going to give the long list of the different svarim and that talk about all the various skulas svarim. We'll just mention one at the end. But I have a dear friend, Bensi Eichhorn from Toronto, put out before he got married a kuntris tracing all different aspects of this meaning of the Afikayman, calling it Zmiris Tzion, a very nice booklet where he traces all different aspects of this minig. Now, interestingly enough, One famous personality, which we know he actually used the skula of using this when he travels and it helped, was Sir Moses Montefiore. In his autobiography, we have the boat was in a terrible storm and they threw a piece of the afikoman into the sea and he was saved, and his family, on that day that he was saved, for his family made a suda always about it. But we see that they actually used this segula, and there's other documentation about it. Just to mention one other maramakam about it, the Eima Banu Sameicha, in his incredible Tshuva Sefer, he says that afikoman has all the dinim of a carbon pesach. So now it should come out that one has a problem of leaving behind one piece. So rather, if you're leaving behind a piece, out the segula, people in Eretz Yisrael should use a regular piece of matzah. Okay, Lamaisa, he brings down the Yosef Aimitzer writes that he made sure not to lose one crumb of the afikoman. Okay, but say there all these different types of different aspects of the minig we're not going to go into. Just to mention two more marakaimis, and to conclude is like this. Sometimes we find we have a minig and then people make fun of it and they save it for traveling and everything. Okay, Lamashal, for this minig afikoman, so it's clear. The Magen Avraham is even bringing in, he's not saying against it. And so we see it's an earlier minig. But the extension and what's behind it, and that people end up using it for all types of things, saving them from when they're traveling, do we have earlier sources for this? Okay. So I've quoted this in the past. This is a fascinating work. Basically, in 2010, a fascinating manuscript of Reb Chaim Vital was published for the first time, called Sefer Apulos. Reb Chaim Vital is best known as being the great Talmud of the Arizal, expert in Kabbalah, etc. And he brings in this Sefer Apulos all types of segulos and different things that he himself many times used for different situations. And it's a whole long drasha, what's behind the Sefer Apulos. I've written about it in Hebrew and English. We spoke a little bit about it in the episode about Ladavid. And the point is that he brings down, this became it's a famous school of Sefer, and interestingly enough, today the Sefer is sold page by page for thousands and thousands of dollars, because it's even the Sefer, it's not only that it's a school of Sefer, but the pages are looked at as a school of. Okay. Anyway, Shteiter Chaim Vital over here in page Reish Mem Aleph. If you're on in the sea traveling and there's the waters are going very stark, what do? You take Matzah Shmur from the Afikoman, throw it in the water, and you will be saved. Okay. So we see this minig and him mentioning this minig. So it's pretty early on. Okay. One last aspect of the afikoman is that that Rav Shik brings down, we keep it to burn it with the chametz in order to remind us that any, that's the famous din that Karban Pesach, you can't have any leftovers. So we keep it to remind us and to burn it with it. I don't know how prevalent that minig is. There are other sources that they do keep it for the end of the year and to burn it with the chametz. Anyway, these are some of the minhagim behind afikoman. These are the side things. Avada, afikoman, it has a lot of halachadik, famous shailas, discussions that not, such as you have to worry about chatzais and you're filling yourself. And then, of course, there's a great question. What does the word afikoman even mean? But these are for a different lecture, shir. Not for now, but this is, we just given a little bit into some of them in Hagam HaKal Yisrael. Number one, that the children stealing it and everything, there is Makayos from it, possibly even I'll be Pashup Shad in standing in Gemara. Obviously, there are people against it. This is always the case that we find two groups of people looking at something, and some people, one, and could come out completely different opposite. It could bother people, and we're talking about very big gedolim that are sensitive to these type of things. And other people find the deeper meanings to it, and that it's okay. That's one minig. And the second thing we also mentioned is that there's a minig, even a pshat in a Magen Avraham, that people kept afikoman, a little piece, out of school for all different types of things, which can be traced in different sources of this farm.
Amazing. Thank you very much. You mentioned keeping piece of the afikoman. One of my close family members was many, many haggadahs. You open up any one of their haggadahs and it's full of matzah crumbs. It's pieces of matzah, afikoman, being kept as a shmira, whatever the source and the carpet that minig is. And as you speak about this, you know, whether stealing is a good thing or a bad thing, you know, maybe we could do an episode one time about throwing pekalach at a chassan, right? Which I know also, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
The extension of the minig at a bar mitzvah bachar, and yes, bizei oichlin and tachas. Yeah, that is a whole shear. Yep.
Okay, so if you want to make any type of dedication or sponsorships for Rabbi Brutt's work, please reach out to me or to Rabbi Brutt, and we're happy to discuss other options. And with that, we wish you and all the listeners a Chakashav Sameach. Again, if you're still listening and you want to get Rabbi Brutt's email with interesting new books and Sfarim available, please send him an email, eliezerbrutt@gmail.com.